We spoke about the three Nishoinas, and we're dealing with the third Nishoin, the Nishoin of this generation. And we said that this generation doesn't have an ideological struggle. We're chasing after other things. We're chasing after all the tivers and entertainment and the culture, let's call it that, of the secular Goyisha world. I think that's kind of what we said, and then we got sidetracked, and now we're still getting sidetracked, and now I'm back on Kuf Mem Dalet, two paragraphs from the bottom, that starts Bemilim Acheres. In other words, Nitei Goyim Ekinisayin Derein and Mitnael Oidois HaOmed HaShlishi Shehu Omed HaChesed Shelchein Kamu Le'il Yesod Minus HaChesed Shalei Nota Avram Avino Yisoyloi Uliyois Mitchesed Im Koinoi. The third Omud, the first one was Avoida Teira Gimilis Chosodim, not always in that order, but we're discussing in that order now. It starts with Chesed, because Avram Avinu came first, and then it goes to Yitzhak and then to Yaakov. But this test is happening backwards. So Avram Avinu is the test, he's the final Nisoyim, he's the Omud of Chesed, and as we said before, the Chesed that he built his tent on is the Chesed of Mischesed Im Koinoi. The chesed he was doing for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zehu ha-sheresh to call midas ha-tov shebo'olam, and that's the sheresh of all midas tov shebo'olam. That's part of its statement. This chesed in koine is the root of all midas ha-chesed in the world. Rakim nika is erech ma'alosein ha-midas. Only if we really understand our true value. V'neide b'ayfin boru kilifi oisa seide shekova Kodesh Baruch Hu b'riyas ha-olam, kunitz taruch lanu. In that system that Akash Baruch Hu created in this world, once again, here comes the paradox. Akash Baruch Hu in this world created a certain Marechet where he, Kiviyochel, needs us, but he doesn't need us because he can't need anything. So, in Achinami, good. But he can set it up in such a way that he did. And we somehow do Chesed for him. With that kli, with that weapon, you can now stand up against all the nisoinus of this generation. Obviously, just saying it once and then going out there, you're going to get shot. But don't think that this just, you know, because you think this and you know it, and you've heard it a few times, you now you're ready to face them. No, this has to be, this is what we said right in the beginning, this is work. And it takes a long time to internalize it and even get to be able to work with it, but you have to start somewhere. So you start with the idea, you start with moach, you start with the idea. So it's still outside of you, it's not in you, it's not part of you, you're not the chubah to it, that you're relating to that and functioning like that automatically. And then slowly it becomes more and more central. As we mentioned the other day, it goes into the heart, not into that thing that's pumping blood. It goes into the heart, which when we say heart, we mean many things, but for the purposes of this discussion, it means it becomes central. This idea becomes a central feature in your life, and now it's no longer just outside of you, it's an idea that you know external. Has now become Pim, now become part of you. So you and that knowledge ultimately become one, and then you function according to that knowledge, and now you have a key to fight the misoinus of this generation. But you first have to know it intellectually. You first have to have it in the moach, in the external dimension, and then slowly it becomes more and more central. It's not something that you kind of like schlep down and feel emotionally in your heart, that you're not going to get anywhere with that. You have to have emotions. That's another sugya. We're not dealing with emotions now. We're dealing with seichel. We're dealing with machshavas halev. What does that mean? The thoughts of your emotions. I don't know what that means. I don't got a clue what that means. Machshava means the thought, your mind, of your lev. What does a lev mean? The thoughts that are central, that become one with you. There's thoughts that are external, that's mach. There's thoughts that are internal, that's lev, that's central. That's a sugi of das again. I don't want to get into that now. Fine. Okay. Kishnis boinan batzmeinu nevachach yasherish the kol kishne nasein and hay mayush. If you'll take some time out and just look at yourself and take a deep, hard core look at yourself, sit down, close your eyes, take a few deep breaths and look at yourself, you'll see that the sherish possible, that the sherish of all our kishleinus, our failures, let's use that word for lack of a better translation now, is in Yush, is in giving up, hopeless. Ha'atzvus v'adigdu ka'noivi mitoich machshove ki bein kach anachnu kol shvelim at shevada ein erech l'maaseinu l'machshove seinu. The sadness, the miserableness, the depression, chalila, that comes in the back of the thought that Either way, we're such a low generation, and I'm so low, and really it can't make any difference, and therefore the value of my deeds and my thoughts are so irrelevant. Therefore, in those moments of depression, of sadness, of yush, of thinking that benkach or benkach doesn't make any difference because I don't really have that much value, there we mutter ourselves everything that the world's offering us. Because benkach or benkach doesn't make any difference, and I'm so sad and I deserve it, and I need to just, you know, recuperate from all my sadness, and therefore I can do whatever I want. And that's where it comes from, that's where it starts. Somebody understands how choshev he is, understands how important he is, so that he doesn't mutter himself these things because he's too choshev for that. You know, the guy who runs the business, and it's his business, and he knows how choshev this business and how important this business is, he doesn't just kind of like, okay, you know, throw in the towel. No, he fights for his business because he knows how valuable it is, and he knows how valuable he is to the business. Even if he's sick, he still comes and opens up the makolet. You ever see a makolet guy, there's a sign on the makolet, I've got a cold, I'm sorry I'm not coming in today. Maybe today, yeah, but I'm talking about in the good old days when a makolet was still a makolet. And not a chain of whatever, you know. It used to be a makolet, you had a guy who owned a makolet, and he made a living like that. And somebody came along and opened up a chain store and drove him out of business and went off and opened up 73 makolets in the town and then put up his brasses, and now you're stuck because this guy doesn't have a panosa and you pay more and whatever. Yeah, anyway, so that's the sugya of chesed. We'll deal with that another time maybe. Yeah, there was a Chofetz Chaim just because it's Friday, and on Friday we let ourselves go off track a bit. Normally we don't ever get off the subject. Friday we're allowed to. So the Chofetz Chaim needed to make a panosa. He didn't want to take money from the yeshiva or from his avodas hakodesh. So he opened up a little makolet, opened up a little grocery store in the town, and his wife ran it, and he would pop in for a few minutes every day just to deal with the, you know, the lachik issues, make sure the scales were right, the cheshbonos were all sorted out, whatever. And then he would do it all the time. But the problem was is that if you lived in Radin, so where would you do all your shopping? You'd go to the Chofetz Chaim's makolet, because you know you're going to get the best choyer at the best prices, everything's a lachiki mayachuz. So the other people in the town couldn't make a pasa, the other schools weren't making a living. The Chofetz Chaim said, that's not shaykh, can't do such a thing. So what did he do? He only opened 2 hours a day. Open 2 hours a day? I mean, so 2 hours a day, he'll make a bit of panos, it's enough to live on. The rest of the day, people go shopping everywhere else. So if you lived in Radin in those days, when would you do your shopping? In the 2 hours that the Chofetz Chaim store was open. So everybody used to shop in those 2 hours, and it didn't solve the problem. So what did the Chofetz Chaim do? He closed his store. That's the Chofetz Chaim's approach to life. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's an Avram Avinu. What happens today? What happens today when such a thing happens? The guy opens the store, and because he's got cheaper prices, everybody goes to him. And the other stores don't do so well. So what does he do? He goes to the other stores, and he says to him, listen, hey, your business is on the way out. You're going to lose everything. I'll buy your store from you at a discounted price. And at least you'll get away with something. And then at least you'll have something, because if you carry on like this, you're going to go bankrupt. So what do? He buys up all the stores in the town. And now he's got a monopoly, so then he can put up his prices. He can do whatever he wants. And then what does he do? He goes to the next town. And he does the same thing there. So that's the difference between someone who's living like an Avram Avinu, a Yitzhak Yaakov, a Chofetz Chaim, or someone who's living like the way we live today. It's an interesting one. Anyway, that's just an aside. If you want to discuss giving and taking, the big supermarkets that are offering you specials and giving you this and we care about you, whatever, they care about themselves, they're there to make bucks. And there were people like the Chofetz Chaim who opened a store because he knew to have make ishtadlus, but his ikkar wasn't to make money. He knew that it wasn't about making money because the money comes from Hashem. So he opened his store in order to do chesed. And Paul's month, there was more damage being done than chesed because other people were getting hurt. So he closed his store, go find some other way of making it. No, sir. Anyway, that's the difference between what's called giving and taking. Okay, that's another subject. But no, it has something to do with our subject because being mischesed in koinoi includes, we'll see, whatever, being mischesed in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's children and the things he loves. You can't love Hashem and then hurt what he loves. Understand, that's a steer. If I love you, then I won't hurt your child because I love you and I don't want to hurt something that's precious to you. So So that's part of the being mischesed in Poina. We'll see how that manifests later when we get to Ben on the Chaveroi, when we get to Chele Gimel. Okay. So that's the problem. The problem is we think, and it gets said, and it gets ingrained in us, and it gets ingrained in our children, and it drives me mad when I hear people saying this. Oh, he's a don amuch. You heard that phrase? Yeah, such a low door, such a low generation. Wow, we mamish, we draw bones, and we the bottom of the foot, and we just dead it. A lot of that could be true, but there's something else lurking in there, which is what he's bringing out, and that is because of that, that's what makes us so choshev, that's what makes us so unbelievably important. Yetzer hara today is stronger than it's probably ever been. The Yetzer hara today, that's almost unconquerable. I mean, it's everywhere. So the Yetzer hara is always in accordance with the size of the Yetzer tov. That means, if you have to throw an internet that this generation is now choshev out, because without that, there would be nothing that would be unstoppable. So Hashem has to pull out of the bag what the Gedolim said is that the worst Yetzer hara we've ever had to face. Unbelievable statement. But that's it. So we're not a low generation. We're not Tamuch. We're not nothing. No, we're the generation that's ultimately going to be bringing, and greeting a Mashiach, which all the other generations couldn't get. We're going to be doing it after because of that. Fine. So, Tafkidenu lois kavam avinu b'shaisam at the bottom of the page I'm going to kuf men hay. Hu haya yochid shemizmoided mul kol ha'olam lelo rav derech. Avram Avinu that was his job, to be mismoided against the entire world alone, without a rav, without a moided derech. He didn't have anyone to guide him. His father was certainly not the right example. And at that stage of the game, there were no other choices. Even Noach Tzadik, he could have maybe been a mentor for Yaakov. Yaakov saw through straight through him and also didn't want to go down his path. Avram Avinu hitrachek mi'oidav ha'zorah b'yomav oid lifnei she'ikis b'yre. That's an amazing thing. Avram Avinu didn't discover Hashem and then get rid of his avodah zorah. He was melachek from the avodah zorah before he found Hashem. And he saw through to the sheker of avodah zorah before he knew what the alternative was. Amazing thing there. He went to war against the avodah zorah, and he was prepared to give up his life for something. He knew that you give up your life rather than be over the avodah zorah. Even at that stage, he didn't understand who the boy Raylah was. V'chein achasam seif ha-kosef ki etzim v'chomos ha-shema v'vinu ba'id ha-psili ma'i suru olav. Listen to the moedika piece of chasam seif. Listen to this carefully. V'chasam seif ha-hol that Avram Avinu's melchoma against the Baal HaVodah Zorah was osur on him. It's osur. Why? Because if you carry on fighting these guys, they're going to kill you. And then you're going to be guilty of having committed suicide. You know, don't do that. I don't do that. You don't have a mitzvah chai b'em. Where do you come to? Where do you come to being ma'abed atzmai l'das? You're not allowed to do that. Noach understood this. Noach knew you couldn't fight against them because you're going to give up your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to build an ark, and when they came and they tried to kill him, whatever, Hashem did missing for him, but he had a command, go build an ark. They built an ark, and that was a risk of his life. But that's because Hashem told him to do it, so he did it. But to go risk your life and things that Hashem never told you to do, it's awesome. The other one, the Chasam Sefer saying, unbelievable. Well, I remember we knew how you're honest. So why was he allowed to do it? The mom was, he was honest. Hosh, should honest. I'm honest, Hashem. You tell me I'm not allowed to risk my life, I'm not allowed, but what can I do? Sheke, that's it, I'm honest. I fight Sheke, I can't tolerate Sheke. He couldn't tolerate Sheke, he went to fight it. I tell me it's Osir? Yeah. Honest Rahman of Patrick. The Chasam Sofer saying this, eh? We've got some nice little. Shabbos table war. This is the Chasam Sefer talk. Unbelievable Chiddush. That's Avram Avinu. Nimrod says, either you do what I'm telling you to do, or you're going to get thrown into the Kishon Aish. The halachi is, you tell Nimrod, Seder, calm down, take it easy, let's work out something here. Avram Avinu says, you want to throw me in the Kishon Aish? Throw me in the Kishon Aish. Why? Because I need loichol these bullshit. I can't. An unbelievable idea. If that doesn't rock your boat a little bit, I'm not sure what could. Moshe Madavadoyna. Yudini klab chaburus kanabolim oichle odom. Let's just say that you're on a teal somewhere in the days when people could still go on tealing. And you went somewhere, you landed up in a place somewhere, I don't know, in out to Guam or somewhere, and you got caught by a band of cannibals. Gordel Kishois of Surus, you know that his time is limited. Man he knows that soon he's gonna be the main course. He's thinking he's going to get out of this, and his mama, she's in it, he's in real trouble now. And then comes with an idea. He goes to the Rosh cannibal, he says to him, what are you going to gain if you eat me? So you're getting 70, 80 kilos of meat. And then it's finished. Over. If you let me live, I'm a very, very highly qualified engineer. And I could really makadem you. I can give you guys a lot of stuff that you don't have. I'll give you enormous benefits. 70 kilos of meat and then it's over. I can teach you how to grow vegetables. I can teach you how to make meat. I can show you how to do all sorts of stuff. I could really help your society makadem. Rosh HaKadem Mishtachne B'dvorov. This Rosh cannibal had a bit of seichel, and he said, yep, okay, sounds like a good idea. But on one condition. You're a very intelligent, talented man, and therefore you have to use all your koiches now in order to benefit the tribe. Therefore you have to join us, you have to become part of us. And our central theme and what makes us who we are, what binds us together, is that fact that we eat people, and therefore you have to join us for a meal. Then you have to show us how you trap people using your advanced technologies and how to cook them properly and whatever.